So our weekly Torah portion, at least the first of the two portions, Parshas Achrimais, begins with a discussion of Yom Kippur. And today's Maimer is going to be about Yom Kippur, specifically in the Beis HaMikdash. K'sein es bad k'edis yulbosh, the Maimer of Parshas Achrei, Mavarcha Mechedish Ir, in the year Tav Shalom Advav, 1976. The Torah says, a tunic of bad, of linen, which is sacred, yilbash the Kohen Gadol shall wear. Umichna sevad, and breeches of of linen, ye al-basar should be on his flesh. Uva avnet bad, and in a sash of linen, yachgar, he should girdle himself. Uva mitznef as bad, yitznef. And in a linen turban, he should wrap his head. Big day kodeshim. These are sacred garments, the Goyim, etc. This is how the Parsha describes the Kohen Gadol and his wardrobe on the holiest day of the year. Special clothes. Clothes that are not the same that he wears all year long. Truth be told, the Kohen Gadol wears his clothes known as Bigdei Hazov, golden clothes, because each of those articles of clothes, at least the special ones, have gold woven into them. Gold that's twisted or woven into the actual thread. However, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear the golden clothes when he does Yom Kippur activities. When he does Yom Kippur activities, which are connected to incense and the Holy of Holies, the Kohen Gadol wears these special white clothes. There's a diuk from the drushim of our Rabbi, as well as in the Gemara and the Teres Kohenim. In other words, this is a very old question. Here in the Maimer, he works backwards from the diukim of the Rabbeim, going back to the Gemara, to the Talmud, which takes us like 1,700 years ago. And then if we go from there, we go to the Mishnah, which is even earlier. So the question, which is the Teres Kohenim, which is the genre of the Mishnah, that the question is asked, Lama ne'emar bad. It's a kol echad me'abigodim. Why does it say the word bad by every one of the garments? You think maybe after the first garment, we know that the garments are supposed to be bad, which is a special kind of linen? It says, K'sein is bad k'idesh yilbosh. And then it says, so we know that the ketonet, we know that the tunic has to be made, or the robe has to be made of bad. And then we say, michnasei bad, that the breeches have to be bad. And then we say the avnet is bad. And then we say the betznefes is bad. So since there isn't clothing made of anything else, it's not that some are made of bad, and some are made of wool, and some are made with gold. It's all bad. So just say, big day kodesh yilbosh. Michnasayim ba'avnet u'mitznefes. Shekulam ebad, or say bad at the end. Why do you have to say michtes ebad, kseides bad, michtes ebad, avne bad, and mitznefes bad? That's the question. So in the Teres Kohenim, we actually have various limudim, various answers to this question. For example, one of the answers of Teres Kohenim is, we might have thought that we should include some of the special begodim, some of the special garments or vestments of the Kohen Gadol, because it says about them, Lefnei Hashem Tamid. So for example, it says about the Cheshen, which is worn on top of the tunic, it says it should be Lefnei Hashem Tamid. And because it says Lefnei Hashem Tamid always, I might think, yes, I have to wear these Kohanic clothes, which are specially made of linen, but I still should wear a breastplate. After all, it says Tamid, it says always. So the Kohen Gadol shouldn't wear his regular tunic, maybe he shouldn't wear his regular me'il, make a long robe of pale blue, but he should wear the k'cheshen. So we say, no, bad, only this. Bad indicates this is unique, exclusive. And then Teres Kohenim says, what about the ephod? So the ephod, which is that special kind of backwards apron that has these shoulder straps with ebony epilat stones, and it says over there also, V'nasa sh'meisim b'fnei Hashem tamid. And then the me'il, so well, maybe you should put on the me'il, because it's V'nishma k'oloi b'voyi, you'll hear his voice. And then it says the tzitz, the gold diadem. So it says that it should be al mitzri tamid l'fnei Hashem. Ah, so it says it should be tamid. So I might think tamid means always. Always includes even Yom Kippurim. So therefore, the Torah comes along and says, no. K'sein is bad. Bad, only bad. Michtnesei vad. Ya avnei vad. Mitznefes bad. That's what the Teres Kohenim answers. And the other answers of the why it says bad each time and how bad brings me a specific lesson and an idea. Okay. But the question is a broad question. It's a very early question. It's documented in the first of the oral sources. Why does it say bad, 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 bad? Four times bad. Havalalei mashiach kulam big debad. And if we learn, for example, in the Gemara, shetzarach liyos mivcha shebevad, the fact that we emphasize that about each thing bad, that has to be the finest of linen, not just linen. Behine big de kahuna and bediuk dafke. The vestments, the clothing that the Kohen Gadol wears are very exact. Because we know that as a rule, the Kohen Gadol has to be wearing exactly his clothes, and as the Rambam tells us, even in the framework of halacha, we're not allowed to detract or diminish or add. The Kohen has to be wearing exactly the Kohen clothes, and there can't be any changes implemented. The Mizem movement from this is understood, shkol echad be big de kahuna yesh lo inyani, that every one of the big de kahuna has his inyan, as has what it represents, and at the same time, yeshne inyan shehu b'tzid of kulam yachad. There's something that somehow a synergy of all the big day kohuna together bring you to the sum total of what the kohen needs. So if a kohen is going to serve, he needs to have his clothes and he needs to have his vestments, and those vestments are exact and precise. These clothes, these vestments, and no others. So from all this, we could understand that there has to be some kind of motif and message that's attached to the clothing of the kohen gadol, as it says in the Gemara. Everybody's an example of something which is universal or a common denominator which weaves itself through all of the garments, is the idea of muvcha shebevad. Not some of the clothes have to be of the finest of linen, all the clothes have to be the finest of linen. The clothing that is seen, that is obvious, and the clothing that isn't noticed, like the breeches, all of it has to be finest linen. So there's a certain ideas which bad teaches us that's universal. They have to be equal. They have to be the same. And then there's certain ideas of bad that each one teaches us a special lesson. This idea, as it's explained and elucidated in the Maimarim of our Rabbeim, specifically the Maimarim of the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, and the Rebbe the Tzemach Tzedek, is based on a mystical teaching which is found in the writings of Rabbeinu Moshe Cordoviro, who is the predecessor of the Arizal, the teacher of mysticism and Kabbalah in Tzfat. So in the Ramak it says that Dalid or Arba Big De Lavan Haim Dalid Isya Shemavaya. Makes like a statement. Statement. There are four letters in the ineffable name of God, and what we call the tetragram. And these four letters of God's name are represented by four different articles of clothing that the Kohen Gadol has to wear. Now, to be sure, the ordinary Kohen, the Kohen Hedyot, always had to wear four articles of clothing in order to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. But we're not talking about the Kohen Hedyot now. We're talking specifically about the Kohen Gadol. As a rule, the Kohen Gadol wore eight vestments. However, on Yom HaKippurim, on the Holy Day of Atonement, the Kohen Gadol would wear only four vestments. So the Ramak says that this is connected to the idea of the four letters of Hashem's name. And now the Rebbe begins to explain, based on the teachings and ideas of his predecessors. The thing is like this. Mitznefes, the turban, koi al keser. This refers to the crowning element of what we call Eser Sefirot. So Eser Sefirot, as a rule, is the system, the gestalt of virtually everything, including the soul of a person. All of human activity is framed by Eser Sefirot. Everything begins with an idea. Everything. If you don't have an idea, you can't do anything. Ideas are developed and analyzed. Eventually, we reach decisions. That's Chacham Bina Das. And then there's the emotional attachment or engagement. We engage with the world around us. If we don't engage with the world, if we don't deal with the world, if we don't take things into account, we're not going to be able to get anything done. There are people who are Nebuch not well, who don't take anything else into account. There are various names for the condition, whether it's autism, Asperger's. These are people who don't have, the midas are stunted. They're not able to relate, they're not able to connect. A normal person is able to connect. And how do we relate and interact with the world outside of us? We engage, and at the same time, we disengage. We know there's certain things, certain parts of things we do where we want to be close, and we also have an innate sense of when we need to be distant. Everybody needs his privacy. Everybody needs his own little space. Everybody can't be in everybody's, so to speak, life, moving in on them. And there are different kinds of relationships. There are relationships that are super close, and then there are relationships you have that are just business-like, just casual, superficial. So the whole idea of how we interact with others is based on the concept of midas. Chesed, gevura, teferes, and so on and so forth. The way we function is based on midas. if we're competitive with others, if what others do makes a difference to us. And Shlomo HaMelech in his wisdom says that it makes a big difference. It's because that scribes become jealous of somebody else's efforts and achievements that they work even harder. So people are motivated by what's going on around them. Sometimes people can't look around them all the time. They have to just focus on doing what they need to do. That's called hoid. And then there's yesoid, which is to pull that together and to put things into kind of a practical, functional plan. And then we do all the way to Malchus. So on top of all of this, on the Kabbalah stickman, there's a crown. It's called Keser. And this crowning achievement, this is a representation of the Mitznefes. The Mitznefes, of course, the turban of the Kohen Gadol, Hoysa al Harosh, it goes on the head. So what does it serve for? What is the purpose? What is it atoning for? This is a day of atonement. The vestments serve as atonement. What does it accomplish? And the answer is, interestingly, like we talked about in last week's Parsha, with regard to the idea of tzaras, that there's two kinds of tzaras. There's tzaras on the rest of the body, then tzaras of the head. And the Rebbe explains, based on the Rambam's words, that the tzaras on the head comes for the inyan of gaiva. Gaiva is your attitude. People think they're better than everybody else. They look down at other people. That's not represented by the heart, that's represented by the head. That's, you know, some people have issues. They're a legend in their own mind. You don't say a legend in their own heart. It's a mind thing, it's a consciousness thing. So gaiva is in the brain. And oven ha gaiva negeo pegim lamaila maila bereish b'chinas hakeser. The idea, everything begins with ideas, but ultimately ideas are where things begin. That's not the prime motivator though. That's where we begin to have some kind of expression. The prime motivator is desire, ratzon. If you really want to do something, we say before, when there's a will, there's a way. That's the nature, that's how it is. So whatever you have, ratzon is a very powerful force. And ultimately, what gives people a ratzon? What do people want? What they want is tainug. What they want is to have an inner sense of satisfaction, pleasure. Human beings are created and driven by pleasure. If you ask most people why they'll do it, they'll explain to you why, in one way, shape, or form or another, they think this will give them pleasure. So how should we live in a normal way? We should engage and we should work and we should do things that bring us to a sense of fulfillment. Now, in today's insane world, people don't want to work. They don't want to make efforts. They don't want to live a life that's filled with meaning, but they want pleasure right away. So what's the answer? Legalize marijuana. Now they'll have pleasure. They're going to have pleasure. Well, it's nothing. You just strike a match and you have pleasure. It's a profoundly unhealthy way to live, besides the taking toxins into your body. It's a profoundly unhealthy way because we weren't built to live the easy way, just to get the easy route. We're built to accomplish things, and the good feeling that the weed brings is very temporary, and it evaporates, and then you have to have more weed. And eventually, you become this weed-infused zombie who can't function unless he's using some kind of pharmacology, a drug, to change his mind, to make him happy. Otherwise, he's miserable. That's what alcoholism is. There's all kinds of different substances. So the idea of Keser, the prime motivator, is ultimately two levels in Keser called Atik and Arach, and the highest level in Keser is the idea of pleasure, of Tainuk. So this is the idea of the Mitznefes. Now the Rebbe says this is not a stira to what the Alter Rebbe says elsewhere, that the Mitznefes was 16 amot long. It was a lot of cloth that had to get wrapped and wrapped and wrapped until it formed the full turban. Like it says in the Rambam. And we know that Beis Pamim Yudvav Hu Lamed Beis, 16 times 2 is 32. And 32 in Hebrew spells Lev, Lamed Beis, Lev, the heart, which is Keneged Lamed Beis Nesivas Chachma. It spells heart, but actually there's something else we talk about, and that is 32 pathways of wisdom. There are 32 pathways of wisdom. So the idea of the Mitznefa seems to be connected to Chachma, or the 32 pathways of wisdom. So if it's connected to Chachma and 32 pathways of wisdom, what are you telling me that it's Keser? Keser is higher than Chachma. If a person wants to understand something, they'll understand something. If they don't want to understand it, they won't understand it. Trust me, that's how it is. You go to somebody and try to explain it to him. If he doesn't want to understand what you're saying, he's not going to understand it, no matter how many times you explain it to him. Why? Because I don't want to understand what you're saying. In my mind, this is wrong and I'm not going to accept it. So no amount of rationale is going to be of any assistance. And then when you really want to understand something, believe me, you're going to understand it. Why? Because you really want to. If your life depended on it, you'd be surprised how you become a genius instantaneously. Why? Because you need this. What's the mother of invention?
Necessity.
People need it. So this is the idea of Lamed Beis Nesivas Chachma, that the Lamed Beis Nesivas Chachma, the 32 pathways of wisdom, is the concept of the Mitznefes. And the Harei She'inyin HaMitznefes, which Mitznefes is chatzi mebechinas lamed beis nesivis hachachma who b'meichin v'lei b'keser. So the mitznefes is also, besides the fact that it's yud vav times two, which gives us the idea of lamed beis nesivis chachma. So we have this idea that the mitznefes itself represents keser. On one hand, the Rebbe is saying it represents keser. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe seems to be saying that it represents the idea of chachma, and chachma is after keser. Keser is higher than that. So he says, "Ki inyan hamitznefes u'mashah keser nimshach b'chachma." The idea of mitznefes means the way keser, the madrega, the level of keser, is actualized within wisdom. In other words, it's not just a question of a person being able to use their mind to find solutions to problems or come up with good ideas. It's that the person has vision and clarity. So what do I want out of life? Where am I going? What's my ultimate goal? What's my ultimate destiny? What's going to bring me this happiness? And a person who wants to achieve something has to have a vision. You have to have a dream. And the vision and the dream is not necessarily wise per se. It's not an idea of how to get there. That comes afterwards. But it, nonetheless, it's articulated within the frame of the mind. It's still a part of chachma. V'zeo masha mitznefes bo lechaper al gaiva. This is why the mitznefes comes to atone for gaiva, which gaiva has the gematria of not yudvav, but yudkei. Not 16, but 15. Which is bechinas chub, chachma ubina. Chachma ubina is 15, because yud represents chachma, and he represents bina, and that gives you 15. Ki ha mitznefes u masha keser nimshach b'meichin. So the Rebbe says, the idea of the keser, the mitznefes, which is the idea of gaiva, we started out with that, is connected to the keser as it's experienced through the prism of chachma, meaning the vision. Person has vision, not just as the ultimate driver, a prime motivator, a mover. So this is the idea of the mitznefes. So now you know the concept of we're going through the four garments. What is the first of the four garments represents the idea of keser, which represents the idea ultimately of chachma, and that's connected, and that represents the first of the four garments. All right. Let's go on to the next one of the garments, and what does it atone for? Because we're talking about a day of atonement. We have the avnet, we have the belt, or the sash, and that comes l'chaper al hirhurei aveira shebelev. That comes to atone for not bad ideas, not a bad perspective on life, not having the wrong things motivating us, and the wrong vision for motivation, but rather, yeah, we're on the next page, rather the idea of this hirhuri alev, which means the thoughts or lusts or cravings or desires of the heart. So what do you have to do? What's the idea of the avnet? How does it function? How does it work? The idea of a sash is lekasher makifim imapnimim. Is loosely speaking that it brings together things which are on the surface, things which are atmospheric and envelop us. It brings it into a more personal way. Why do people wear a sash? Why do people wear a belt? Because they have a robe or they have a tunic and it's too big. In order for it to fit my body, I can either take it to the tailor and taper it, or I can just buy a belt. And if people buy a belt, if the pants won't fall off you anymore. Why? Because your pants might be a drop big on you, but if you're wearing a belt, it attaches itself. It makes the pants hug the waist. A person has wearing a dress that's all over the place. It's too big. It's not a fitted kind of dress. So what do? How do you make it fit? You have a belt. You have a sash. The clothes that surround us is like makifim. The size we are individually is like pnimi. That's who we are as an individual. So the idea then of a belt is to tie or to connect and put in place that which is usually more superficial, that it should be more tailored to us. The inyan hamshachas hamakifim. Shalidei ha'avnet, the idea of the hamshach of the makifim to the belt, Humashabina liba is not just to experience the idea of emotions in a purely heartfelt way, but rather this idea of bina liba, this idea of emotional quotients, not only intellectual quotients. It's a profound part of intelligence which is connected to the heart. Once the ideas are no longer just cerebral, academic, or ivory toweredly disconnected from everyday life. But once the idea has gone into the heart, once it's transcended IQ and gone into EQ, then it can actually affect life. Then you can put it to work. The Hari Alev, who may atlas shlitin. The Zohar calls the Lev one of the three organs that are vital, that control the entire body. And that's why the Zohar says, Liba polig l'chol shayfen. The heart pumps in all directions. God forbid, if somebody's heart doesn't work right, what happens? The heart stops pumping right. So eventually, people get gangrene, chas v'shalom, in their feet, the circulation problems. So there's a weak heart that becomes circulation problems, circulation issues. Or people can't exert themselves because the heart will have to pump too hard. So the notion of the heart is that it reaches everywhere in the body. If the heart isn't pumping enough blood to reach everywhere in the body, if the heart doesn't pump strong enough, you're in big trouble. Your body, the life of the body has life through the blood, and that all goes back to the heart. The heart ultimately directly influences all of the other limbs of a person. The concept then of the belt, going back to this article of closing the sash, is lahamshich moichin b'midas. It's in order for us, when we're taking that belt, and since it's connected to the heart, and since we're talking about the mitznefes, we're talking about the turban, which represents the ideas and the vision, how one sees themselves, or how one should see themselves, and how one should look at life, so your attitudes and your perspectives from a cerebral level have to filter through into the heart. And therefore, haya aruch lamed beizama. So if the mind, that which wrapped the head, was half of 32, was Yudvav, how many feet or amas long was the actual sash? 32 amas long. It's a very long sash. It got wrapped around and around and around and around. She'en yoni hamshachas hamakifin b'leiv. It's about bringing atmospheric stuff into the heart. V'hamshachas zu shal yedei ha'avneit. This, when you use the belt, it's not like the hamshacha of keser into the into chachma, which is the idea of the mitznefes. The mitznefes mashenim shel b'chachma hu be'ifin dehelim v'kisui. When you take pleasure and it goes into the mind, so I can see it in my mind's eye, that represents something which is beneath the surface. But when it comes into my heart, then it comes out in an open way. So the idea of the mitznefes comes from the word tsofanta, which means you've hidden. So there's what's the people's mind. This is einad midea masha belibi shachaveri. Nobody knows what's in somebody else's mind, but people know what's somebody else's heart. People express their heart. The heart is how they relate, how they connect to others, how they express themselves. Now we're moving on to the next article of clothing, which is the ksenis, the tunic itself, and that comes lachaper alav and shvichas damim. That comes to atone for the concept of murder. Wow, murder! Regular people kill. Well, killing is a part of life, unfortunately, as you're going to soon hear, on a metaphoric level. The ksoines, the word ketonet, which means tunic, what's the first time it shows up in biblical literature? It's the first time we hear of a ketonet. Joseph, very good. The ketonet hapasim, the colorful tunic, the tunic of stripes. She tovlu badam, what did they do with it? What did the shvatim do with it? When they took it off, they stripped it from Yosef, what did they do? They tore it, they dipped it in blood. The inyan shvichas dama, the idea of blood being spilled, kamesh yukasav, what is the spillage of blood? Yeah, like it's written, with regard to the concept of murder, or even actually abortion, is where this technical verse comes from. Shayfir dam ha'odam be'odam. He who spills the blood of a person, who is in a person. So on one level, the Medrash says, talks about abortion. But a medayik, b'kisvi arizal, the arizal says, the odam hasheni humiyuter. Why does it say shefer dam ha'odam ba'odam? If you want to talk about spillage of blood, about murder, about bloodletting, shefer dam ha'odam. Spilling the blood of a cockroach, it's not murder. It's not even a problem. Spilling the blood of a dog, it's not nice. In society, today's society, you'll get in big trouble for doing it. It's not murder, though. Shooting an elephant, you'll be all over Facebook if you post. But it's still not murder. What's murder? Shefer dam ha'odam. Spillage of human blood. When the doctors decide that this poor kid Alfie must die because they decided he must die, that's what we're talking about. That's Shefer Dam Adam. That there's no demonstrations against. Only people who kill lions and tigers and elephants. But that they kill a baby, that's okay. Because the doctors knew exactly what was going to happen until they didn't know. You know what I'm talking about. Right? This kid in England. So this is Shvichas Damim. And this is going on in the world as we speak. And the idea that Arizal says, well, what it really means? The second time it says Adam, what is it? Adam Dam HaAdam. What does it mean? He says, this is Mavur Shaka Akavanas Akosov. The intention of the scripture is the Shefer Dam HaAdam, the Kedusha, Ba'adam Blial. That the word Adam, which means human or person, is also, there's this representation in the spiritual realms of Adam as well. And there's two kinds of Adam. There's the Adam that Ezekiel sees in his prophecies, which is the Adam Shalakisei. And then there's the Adam of Blial. Then there's the Adam, the Yetzirah, the Satan, is also called Adam, as an image of Adam. And bloodletting means when you're pouring Shefer Dam HaAdam BeAdam, when you're draining the Chayas, the vitality, the life, the animation, and the force out of the godly Adam into the other Adam. And there's these heavenly forces that God created. V'lachein, milvad inyin ha-kapara, besides the kapara, K'mishah Kosov, like it says, there's a collection of verses in Iyov that speak about the shortcomings of people and what they have to do to overcome it. He speaks about tzaddikim's failings. He says, Chel bala vayakiena. The pasuk over there says that the strength, chayel, like a valor, was swallowed, and but ultimately the earth will disgorge them. So it says they took strength, they took away from others, but in the end, they will be disgorged by it. So this is the idea then, metaphorically, that evil absorbs that strength that doesn't belong to it. But vayakiena, it'll ultimately bring up, it'll expel it. So people talk about tikkun olam. What does tikkun olam mean? Tikkun olam means taking the sparks, redeeming the sparks. Which sparks? Well, first of all, the sparks that God had strewn throughout the strata of existence through Shviras HaKelim, through the initial big spiritual Big Bang event. And then which tikkun? The tikkun, people say, I need a tikkun. I did an Aveda. You're darn right you need a tikkun. Why? Because we're doing an Aveda. You caused the sparks to go somewhere else. You took the vitality, the holiness of the neshama, and you put it somewhere else. And because you put it somewhere else, now you have to undo the damage you did. And you have to take away. So imagine a person, he messed around, he sent funding to the wrong organizations. It's a terrorist organization. So I'm sorry. You're sorry? Destroyed a terror organization. Well, it was the United States' problem. They created these monsters in Afghanistan. The Taliban. Why? Because they wanted to undermine the Russians. So they sent funding and weapons to the Mujahideen. And then what did the Mujahideen do? They turned on their master, like Frankenstein. And all of a sudden, now they became the United States had to dismantle that. Why? Because when you put funding, you put vitality, you put life into the bad thing, you have to eventually drain it. You have to pull it back. And that's the meaning of the Belial's Asher Shalat Adam Ba'Adam. That when one person controls another person, that's actually the definition of evil. That's what we mean, like in our world, a dictatorship. In our world, terrorism. People controlling other people. People dominating other people. People forcing other people, and abusing other people. But this, on a spiritual level, means shemaitzi gam nitzutzi akdusha shayosham lifnize. That we now have to undo. We allowed the forces of evil to control. We gave them the vitality. We gave them the life that Hashem gave us. And now we have to undo it. And that's what the kesein is. That's what the tunic represents. So it's not really just about bloodletting. It's a broader commentary on how a yid is supposed to live his life. V'akseinus mechasa kol haguf. The kseinus covers the whole guf, all the way, the kseinus of the kohen gadol would go all the way to the raglayim, all the way to the feet. And that's keneged, that corresponds to the vav midas, to the various emotional characteristics, which are either six or seven, which go, so to speak, all the way down to the bottom. And then there's the breeches.
Sorry,
no, this is not the tunic with the bells, because that was not worn by the Kohen Gadol when he did Yom Kippur services. Then there's Ayid Michnasayim, then there's the breeches, and that comes, Lachases, Bzara Ever, that comes to cover nakedness. The Inyane, Shabbat, Lachapital, Oven, Gilead, Royas, this comes to atone for the sin of sexual impropriety, of licentiousness. And this is like, which is spoken about, by the way, in the Psukim that follow, Achrei Mais. We talk about Yom Kippur, what's the next part of the reading? The most depraved kind of relationships, licentiousness. That's the next part of it. And that's actually what we read Yom Kippur in the afternoon. So that in Sfiris, and if we talk about this from spiritual terminology, it represents the Sfira of Malchus, which the Sfira of Malchus represents the idea of Nukva, that there is a masculine energy and a feminine energy. And Malchus is the feminine energy, that which receives and develops. Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, who are called the idea of Malchus. Shesham Negeh Sheyiyo Kedusha V'Tara. That when it comes to Knesset Yisrael functioning right, it's very important that everything should be done with a sense of purity, with a sense of holiness, with a sense of innocence. And that's why there's so many halachas that govern the interaction between men and women. And that's why we like obsess over these things. Because if we don't, chas v'shalom, we end up in a very dangerous place. Because the nature of male and female interaction is very powerful. It's so powerful that it could spin out of control like this. And it does in the crazy world that has no limitations. V'tzarech liyis hashmira. Therefore, this is the one part of life that you have to always be on guard. V'zeo masha ksenis yala guf ad yirichayim. That's why the ksenis is actually on the flesh, it's actually on the body, and it goes down to the knees. Mishum shu keneged amidas. It represents the midas themselves. The ksenis goes all the way down to the feet. Mashek and imich nesayim, the breeches go only ad yirichayim, only to the knees. Levar Megufa. Only besides the rest of the body. In other words, this is the level, what's called the level, the dimension of Malchus. And this is why Michnasayim come from the terminology of Koinus, to gather together. Which that's the function of Sfiris HaMalchus, called Knesses Yisrael, the congregation of Israel, is what gathers all of the vitality and the energy together, or Asifas HaGiluyim L'mayla, when there's a profusion of divine revelation, it's like having, that's like the dam effect. You pull it all together, and then it's able to be harnessed appropriately. So now we know that the four garments represent what? The full gamut, the range of human endeavor and sinful behavior. Big de kodesh heim, we come along and say that these garments are all sacred. Which is, what is kodesh, what is kedusha? Kedusha represents the idea of bittul, the idea of humility. Moshe Rabbeinu, the holiest person, what was he? Anav mikol adam, the humblest of people. So the idea of kedusha is that the kedusha is nimshach in the sphere of chachma. Because chachma is the beginning of all the spheres, and because chachma doesn't have its own entity, so to speak, it doesn't obsess over self, because chachma represents the idea of humility, and because ideas come when I'm not thinking about myself all the time, when a person forgets about himself, that's where he gets the idea of a new idea comes from. If I already know all the answers, no new ideas will come my way. If I realize I don't know, that's when all of a sudden a fresh profusion could come, because chachma functions in an environment of bittul. The less self, the more profound. That's why children sometimes are capable of brilliant things, because they don't obsess over themselves so much. They don't know about gaiviyah. They don't know about pridefulness and arrogance. And that's why children have sometimes a certain innocent and childlike quality of profundity. Sometimes they notice things that nobody else notices. Why? Because we were stuck in old paradigms. But the child doesn't get stuck in that paradigm. The child represents that humility. So this is the idea of Kedusha. Kedusha represents humility. Well, but Torah, what is it represented in Torah? The notion that Chachma is the beginning of everything and includes everything that follows is the idea of the Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 statements that God made to us at Matan Torah. There was a statement of Anochi, I am God. And that includes all of the positive mitzvahs. And then we have the idea of La Yilach, I don't have. That includes all the negative mitzvahs. And so it is also when it comes to Asera Mamorot, the 10 utterances with which God created the whole world. That the first of the utterances is Bereshis, and Bereshis includes everything that follows afterwards. So this is the idea of Big Day Kodeshim, the common denominator that includes everything. And this is, so to speak, why all of the different begodim, all of the different articles of clothing, ultimately have to be united, brought together, or woven in sync with the concept of humility. And we find now in all of the four different garments, why did it have to say bad by each time? So the Rebbe says, because the idea of bad means that there's something about the linen which is uniquely unified. And that is what the Gemara tells us, that the davar ha'oila, that what is bad? Bad is a davar ha'oila min hakarka. What is flax? What is linen come from? It comes from something that grows in the ground and has a single stalk. There's no branches. The idea of linen comes in a single, always in a single stalk. Rashi says it means a kone yechidi. And mikol gadin, from every seed you plant, you can't get multiple stalks, you can't get branches, you can only get one stalk per branch. Ein beis kanim elam, there are never two stalks that come up migeza echad, from one trunk. Other kinds of vegetation, like chitim and dagon, they ultimately branch off, they have many little stalks that come off on the top. And that all comes from one bulb, from one seed. But the bad is the inyan of yachid, it's the inyan of oneness. And so the Rebbe interprets this means, what does it mean, the oneness of the four different garments represent four different endeavors of a person, which ultimately are big day kodesh, they have to be sacred. And sacred represents the idea of humility that weaves its way through all these different garments. So all of this together is undergirded by a single foundation. What's the single foundation that undergirds all of the Kohen Gadol's endeavors? The concept of Emunah. As the prophet Chavakuk said, B'chavakuk ve'amidin alach. As Chavakuk took all of Yiddishkeit and boiled it down to one essence, what's the singular essence of everything? Emunah, faith in Hashem, Shekola Madreges, at all levels of spirituality, all kinds of endeavor and achievement have to be based on the foundation of Emunah. What happens if a building is built with no foundation? It collapses. What happened to a person that has chachma and bina and midas and everything, but he has no emunah, he has no faith in Hashem? If there's no faith, there's nothing. Everything collapses. And so we're told about all the four different garments that represent the four different names of Hashem, that represent four different areas of human endeavor. That all of this has to be, number one, big day kodesh, it has to be sophist and punctuated with humility. Number two, it has to be bad. And bad means singular. There's a singular essence over here, and the singular essence is shechol adalat begodim. All four garments, which represent the four levels before chachma, bina, midas, and malchus, that all of it has got to be mibad. It all has to be founded upon the rock solid emunah. So all the different levels of yidden, that some yidden serve Hashem with their body in a material sense, some yidden serve Hashem with their minds and their hearts in a spiritual sense. And we know that generally speaking, there's 10 madregas in yidden, like it says in Parshas Nitzavim that we read always before Rosh Hashanah, that there are 10 different levels from Rosh Hashanah, Shivtechem, from the leaders of the congregation, all the way down to the sanitation and energy people, to Shayev Chaytev Itzechav Shayev Meimecha, water and so to speak fuel, which these are the 10 madregas. And the Eser Sphere is the ten levels that is comprised of every single, all of reality is made of Eser Spheres, which fit into the framework of the four letters of Hashem's name, the four letters of Hashem Havaya, which all of this has many different iterations and many different coming together and expressions, but ultimately all of it is Big De Kodesh, Bad. It has to go down to oneness. And the oneness is the concept of faith. And this is just the opening volley of the Maimer. The balance of the Maimer Derbe says, Ubira Inyan explains how it is that faith undergirds everything, infuses everything, elevates everything, energizes everything. But we're out of time. Good Shabbos to everybody who joined us from all over the world. Thank you all for joining us for another amazing week of learning.